The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Mem Gimal. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Victor Gindi, Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu, for continued Hatzlacha in all his endeavors, continued success, Bri'ut, health, happiness, and all good things. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tenehem ben Aydin. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Kua Shelema, Yosef ben Sarah, Rahamim ben Adel, Vesarah bat Rahel, Enna Rafael Alem, Betoch Shar Chodah Amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf, and we are 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom. The Gemara begins, Ba'amine Rabbi Avina Merav Sheshat, Bat Anizonet Min Ha'achin. We're talking about a case over here of a daughter that's being supported by her brothers. Now, why would she be supported by her brothers? So that she tells us in the third line, Bat Anizonet Min Ha'achin, Shechenu Tanai Ketuba. That was one of the conditions they used to put in the ketubah bepirkin later on. Benan nukban diyahavyan lechi minai inun yehon yatban bebeti umitzanan minichsehi ad tilkehun legubrin. Which basically means that in the ketubah it says, in the event that the husband dies, so the boys, the brothers, have an obligation to support the sister, the single unmarried sisters, from the money of the ketubah. They have to support her until she gets married. So that's a case of bat hanizonet min ha'ahin, a daughter that's being supported by the brothers. Okay, and that's again the condition that's written in the ketubah. So the Gemara says, ma'aseh yadeha lemi. Who gets ma'aseh yadeha? Meaning, she works. She makes money. She gets as a job. She gets paid. Who gets that money? Ma'asiya, the product of her hand, of her hands, right? So it says bimkom av kaime. So I'll say, well, the brothers maybe fill the father's role. Ma'ata ma'asiya le'av, just like a girl, right? A kitana or a ne'ara. Her ma'asiya de'a goes to the father. So to I'll say, hakana me ma'asiya de'a le'achin. So to I'll tell you that the brothers fill the shoes of the father, and they get ma'asiya de'a. Or dilma lo dame le'av. Or maybe I'll tell you it's not similar to av. Why? Hata midide mitzina. The father gets because he's supporting her. It's his money that's supporting the girl, so therefore he gets compensated with ma'asiya de'a. Haka lav medidu mitzina. But here the brothers are not supporting her. The brothers are just being supporting her from the ketubah money, from the father's money. So therefore it could be maybe the brothers are not going to get the ma'asiya de'a. Let's read Nashi. Lav medidu. Right, it's not from them. Ela mitnai ketubat iman. Right, that's a tnai in the ketuvah of their mother, and therefore it's coming from the estate, so to speak, and therefore could be the brothers are not going to get ma'asiyah there. So that's the Gemara's question. So comes the Gemara and says, "Amar le," answers, "Tanituha." We learned it in the Mishnah later on. Almana nizonet minichse yetomim umaase yadea shelahen. You have an almana. Almana is a widow, right? So that she says nizonet, she is supported minichse yetomim. That by the who takes care of the widow now? Right, guy was married and he died. Who takes care of the mother now? The widow. So it says the money that goes to the yetomim, which is the children that inherit their father, they have to set aside money to make sure that their mother, the widow, is supported. As she says, "Dehay namit tnai ketubah." It's also part of the conditions of the ketubah beperkin. At tehiyat ba bebit, you will sit in my house. The husband says, "Umitzenam min nechasai," and you will benefit from my nechasim. Kol yemem megar armelutech. So long as you're still a widow, till you get married, the estate, which really goes to the children, they're gonna take care of you. And what's the deen? Umaaseyadeh shilahin. And who gets maaseyadeh of the almana? The almana goes to work. Who gets the money? The children. Shilahin. Which is the almana goes to work, she makes panasa. Who gets that money? Since the children are supporting her, the deen is maaseyadeh shilahin. Shilahin, them. Shilahin, which means to the yetumim. So therefore, as a wise say, shilahin. Okay, you want to see, maybe he changes the shilahim, and maybe he changes it too. Okay, in any event, the point is like this. Just like you see in Almana, that watch is being supported by the, yeah, by the children, which means the father's estate is taking care of it. But who gets the ma'asiyah deha? They do. So too, so the same thing by a bat. The brothers are supporting her, and they should get the ma'ase yadayim. That's the Gemara's parallel wants to make. Gemara says, "Mi dame?" What do you mean? Is it analogous? Al minato lo nihale beharvaha. The husband is not happy, or is not niha, is not satisfied, or doesn't accept that his almana should make extra. She should have harvaha. Not only is she getting supported, but she's also going to get ma'asei yadeh. However, bito nihale b'harvaha. But he doesn't mind if his daughter gets a little extra. Which means his daughter not only is going to get supported by the brothers, but she'll also keep ma'asei yadeh. So the Gemara is giving a psychology here. A husband doesn't mind if his daughter makes a little extra harvaha. Let her keep her own ma'asei yadeh. But when it comes to the almana, lo nihale b'harvaha. So comes the Gemara and says, Lemembra di bito adifa lema alminuto? What do you mean? You think that a husband treats his daughter better than his widow? Because that's what's really saying over here. Skibras v'amar rabbi abba amar rabbi yose. Asu almana etzel habat. When let's say you have an almana and a bat, both of them need to be supported, which is the husband died, he left a widow, and he left a daughter. That situation where you have simultaneously an almana and a bat, they treated that situation exactly like kebat etzel achim. Where let's say you have a daughter with brothers. What's the daughter? What's the deen with daughter and brothers? Means the father died, and now you just have daughters and brothers. The gabed is support. So the Gemara says, benichasim mu'atim. When there's only a small amount of funds. So let's say the daughter and the brothers both cannot enjoy from the funds that were left over. So who gets precedence? Ma habat etzel achim. Just like when it comes to the case of a bat that's next to the brothers, habat nizon. What do? We give the money to the girl. Va'achin yishalu ala petachim. And we tell the brothers, go collect on the doors. Which means when there's a small amount of money that was left in the estate, and you have to split it within, let's say, a girl and brothers. So we say, you know what, if you're going to split it both ways, nobody's going to have enough. So we say, you know what, give the money to the girl, and the boys, they'll go out and they'll go collect. Also, the Gemara says, af almana etzel habat. So too, when you have a widow with a daughter, and you have a small amount of money, who gets the precedence? Almana nizonet. We give the money to the almana. Vehabat tisha'er ala petachim. And we tell the daughter, go collect. So what do you see? The husband, the deceased, treats the almana better than the bat. And now you're telling me in the last deen over there that the husband, he doesn't mind to give his bat extra money, ma'asiyah there, but he doesn't want his almanat to have arvacha. On the contrary, here you see, when there's only a small amount of money, what do we say? Let the daughter go collect on the doorposts, and the almanat gets the money. So make up your mind. Who does the husband prefer? Does he prefer the almanat, or does he prefer the daughter? Kabbalah says, le'inyan ziluta. Alminuto adifa le'enyan harvacha bito adifa le. There's two concepts here. There's harvacha and there's ziluta. When it comes to harvacha, which means making extra money, he prefers his daughter. Let her keep ma'asiyah there to herself. But when it comes to shame or embarrassment, he's more concerned about the dignity, we'll call it, of his amana more than his daughter. And therefore, in this case over here, he's not going to make his almana go collect money by the doorpost. That's already a yan of ziluta. It's already a shame. So when it comes to the shame factor, the almana is treated higher. When it comes to the monetary factor, the daughter is considered on a high level. That's the Gemara's understanding of that. So comes the Gemara, let's just read Rashi. Almana etzel abat. Mi shemet v'niya almana ubat. Man, he died, left an almana and a daughter. In case we just said, b'nechasim mu'atim, a small amount of funding, she'en b'hem kedeh panasat shenem asar chodesh. The rule is they have to support them for 12 months. That's the amount of time. Kedamar b'perek mi shemet b'baba batra v'ketani abanot yezunu. The law is over there. The girls get the money. V'bani mishadu al petachim. Good. So basically, at this point, we're concluding that what? That a daughter that's being supported by the brothers, ma'asiya deha la'atzma, that she keeps her own monies. Now the Gemara is going to challenge this. Mativ Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks a question. Actually, he's asking this question from our Mishnah. What does it say in our Mishnah? We learned at the end of our Mishnah. Ma'asiya deha. Talking about a girl. She makes ma'asiya deha. She has work. She makes money. Umitziata, well, she finds, let's say, a lost object. Afalpi shelo gavta, even though she didn't claim it yet, she didn't get paid yet. Mashal, her boss owes her a paycheck. Right, she has $500 coming to her, even though she didn't, let's say, actually get it yet. Met ha'av. Now the father dies. Now, who normally gets that paycheck? The father, right? A girl. Ketana na'ara ma'aseya deha. So the Hiddush over here is even before she actually came into possession and then the father dies, Hare hen shel achim. So automatically it goes to the brothers, because who's Yoresh the father? The brothers. Now the brothers are not only Yoresh the father, what he has, his actual assets that he has in possession, but assets that are coming to him also go to the father. Okay, so that's the go to the father, but go to the brother subsequently. Okay, that's the case of our Mishnah. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Ta'amad behaye ha'av. This is only talking about this whole Mishnah, that what? Because she earned the money behaye ha'av, when the father was still alive. So since the father was still alive, when she earned the money goes to him really, and therefore it subsequently goes to the brothers. Ha'lahar mitata'av. Oh, but the money she earns after mitata'av, after the father dies, la'atzma, must go to her. And the Gemara continues to analyze the case. My love, benizonet. And must be the case was talking about benizonet, which means the father died. Good. She's making money. And it's talking about a case where the brothers are supporting her. So you see clearly from our Mishnah that what? That the money that's given, that even though she's being supported by the brothers, the money goes to her. So therefore you see a raya to that. Right? So comes the Gemara and says... Right, so that was the question. That was Rav Yosef's question to Rav Sheshat. Okay, fine. So comes the Gemara and says, because Rav Sheshat was of the opinion that said that there's a... Right, he wanted to say the same deen as an almana. Let's get clear, she taught, just so we don't get confused. Rav Sheshat was the one that said the deen of an almana and a bat is the same. Just like an almana, ma'asiyah, they go to the children. Right, they support her, but she doesn't make her ma'asiyah deha. So Rav Sheshat wanted to say so to a bat. She gets nizon from the brothers, but her ma'asiyah, they go to the brothers. To that, the Gemara says there's a difference. That almana, the husband doesn't want her to have arvaha. But to a bat, the father wants her to have arvaha. But Rav Sheshat didn't make that chiluk. Rav Sheshat held that the deen of an almana and the deen of a bat is the same. Again, just like an almana, when let's say, as part of the Tanai Ketubah, the law is that the children have to support the almana until she gets married. But the deen is what? Her ma'asiyah, they go to them. Okay, so Rav Sheshat said, just like the almanah's ma'asiyah, they go to them, the bat, her ma'asiyah, they go to the children. Good? That was Rav Sheshat. So the Gemara is asking from our Mishnah. What are you saying? From our Mishnah, it's Mashma that the Maaseh of the Bat go to her. How? Let's review the proof. The proof is like this. The Mishnah said, you have a case of a girl. She's making Maaseh Adam. She's making money, right? The money didn't come to her yet. Okay? Then what happened? The father died. Since that money was coming to him, after he dies, the money goes to the brothers. The Hadush of the Mishnah was that even though he didn't get it yet, it's coming to him, it's like it's his, and the children are Yoresh, that Zechut. So the Gemara made a diuk. That's only because she made the money when the father was alive. But what if the father was not alive, and she made money, must be the money goes to her, even if she's being supported by the brothers. So that's a direct contradiction against Rav Sheshat. You, Rav Sheshat, held that what? That even though she's being supported by the brothers, the Maaseh Yadayim go to them. But from our Mishnah, it's Mashma, that when she's being supported by the brothers, the Maaseh Yadayim go to her. So comes the Gemara and says, Lo, you have no Raya from our Mishnah. B'she'ena Nizonet. Who told you to learn the Mishnah is talking about where she's being supported by the brothers? Maybe I'll tell you the case of the Mishnah is talking about where the father died and they're not supporting her. So in the case where they're not supporting her, she gets it. You have no ra'aya to our case. So comes the Gemara and says, which means that she says, Kegon chelo ayu nechasim. There was no estate. So there's no estate, the brother's not supporting her. So what's the Hadush of the Mishnah? Stam, the Mishnah is telling you that you should know if there's no estate, and after the father dies, Hamaseh Adam go to her. So the Kabbalah says, what do you mean? E b'she'ena nizonet. If that's what the case is talking about, my lemimra. What do you need to tell me this case for? Which means, what is the Hidush over here? Why? Look at Ashi. My lemimra. Diyuka lo istarik la'ashmi'inan de'asta lahar mitat av le'atzma. Do you need to tell me that if she's not being supported by the brothers, that she gets to keep the money? What do you want her to do? To die? I mean, of course she keeps the money. What do you want her to do? She's not getting panasa from the brothers. No nechasim. That's for sure. It's pashut. Or maybe you'll tell me, no, not the diuk. The Mishnah is the chidush. That what? That the money that she makes during her life, during the father's lifetime, goes to the brothers. Pshita. That's also pashut. Because that's money. We know all monetary benefits go to the father. So if the father died, the children will get it. So the fact of the Mishnah is not a Hiddush. The diuk of the Mishnah, the way you're learning, is also not a Hiddush. So therefore, and why? Because even according to opinion that says, Yachol harav lomar. Rav is, let's say, a master of a slave. Yachol harav lomar le'eved. A master is allowed to tell his slave, Aseh imi, which literally means work for me, ve'eni zancha, and I'm not giving you mizonot. I can tell a slave, I want you to do all the work for me, and I'm not giving you any food. Hani mili be'evet kenani. That's all. You can only do that to evet kenani delo ketiv be'emach. It doesn't say emach by an evet devni. The pasuk says ve'tov lo emach, which means you have to treat him like you treat yourself. You can't tell the guy work, and I'm not going to give you any panasa. Aval evet devni dektiv be'emach. Good, but no. Kol sheken bito, or the more so a daughter, which means, well, I need you to tell me that what? She's not going to get any parnasa from the brothers, and what? You're going to say Maaseh Adeh, I go to the brothers, which means you don't even treat a slave like that. So if you can't treat a slave like that, only in Eved Kenani, you can tell him, listen, you do all your work is for me, and I'm not feeding you, okay? But in Eved Evri, you cannot do that. Kol sheken, you're not going to do that to a girl. So therefore, again, what's the reason for the Mishnah? The Mishnah is Pashut. She's according to the way you understand the Mishnah. That the Mishnah is talking about what? That's the way Rav Sheshat's answering. Rav Sheshat's saying, the Mishnah is talking about the reason why Maaseh I go to her, because she's in on the Zunit. She's not being supported. She's not being supported by the brothers. So the Gemara says, if she's not being supported by the brothers, Pashut the money goes to her. I need the Mishnah to come and tell me that. So Gemara says, "No, I'll answer you." Amar Rabba Bar Ula, lo nitzrecha ela leha'adafa. No, the case of the Mishnah's Kiddush is regarding ha'adafa, which literally means extra. Look at that sheet, leha'adafa. Le'olam le'diyuka dila itztarich. I need it for the diyuk. That what? La'shmi'inan de ma'asiyadeh la'hamitata'av le'atzma. Yes, it is a chidush that she gets ma'aseh adeha u'b'she'ena nizonet. Even though she's not getting supported, there's a chidush that she gets the money. De'lo teba zechut shezechta Torah le'ab b'bito mamonu l'orishon le'banim u'dekashlam b'maitit zun ha'lo gar'a me'eved ivri ki yitzarek la'shmen ha'adafa she'ma'aseh adeha odef ha'mezonoteh yitzarek la'shmeinan. Which means like this, ha'adafa is extra. I would have thought like this maybe. Let's say normally it costs her to mizonot to feed her, it costs her $100. That's $100 a week, alright? So for sure, I would say what? Her ma'aseh adeha, up to $100 should belong to her, but maybe anything past $100, maybe should go to the brothers, because the Torah was only giving, for example, Torah gives an eved, his mizonot. So therefore she shouldn't be worse than that, so she should get her mizonot, but maybe anything extra maybe really belongs to the father, and there's no father around, and it goes to the brothers, kamash ma'alan, that when they're not supporting her, everything goes to her. Even ma'asiyah, they are more than the mizonot. So what Rav Sheshat has a way to answer our Mishnah. Meaning, if she was being supported by the brothers, then for sure they get everything. That's Rav Sheshat. Our Mishnah is talking about inu nizonet. Inu nizonet, her pashut inu nizonet. Of course she gets ma'asiyah there. Now the hadush is, not only she gets ma'asiyah there, she gets the ha'adafa also. She gets the over and above, which she would normally get from mizonot, that also belongs to her. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbah. Rabbah comes along and says, Gavra Rabbah kerav Yosef, lo yada de'ika ha'adafa, dekamutiv tiyufta. Rabbi Yosef is the one that asked from this Mishnah against Rav Sheshat. Well, he didn't know this answer of Hadava. Rabbi Yosef was a Gavra Rabbi, he's a great rabbi. Well, he left in a question a Mishnah. Well, he couldn't figure out that you can answer this Din of Hadava. So from the fact that Rabbi Yosef didn't answer it, must be that's not considered an answer. So we're back to a question. What is the... Look at Rashi. Amar Rava v'chi Gavra Rava k'Rav Yosef de'ut be'la hayti yufta. That asked this question. Lo ava yada de'ika Hadava. Well, he didn't know this concept. And still, even though that answer was a potential, he still asked the question. He must have known that this is a good question. Which, if it was such a simple answer like Hadafa, Rav Yosef would have gave the answer. From the fact that he didn't give the answer, must be that what? It's not an answer. So we're back to the question. How is Rav Sheshat going to answer our Mishnah? El Amar Rava, Rav Yosef Matnitin Gufa Kashele. So we're redefining Rav Yosef's question. You know what Rav Yosef's question was against Rav Sheshat from our Mishnah? His question was like this. Diktani, what does it say in the Mishnah? Ma'ase yadeha umitziata. Right, her, talking about a girl. Her father died. So what do we say? Ma'ase yadeha, the money that's owed to her, and the mitzi'a, her object that she found, that she didn't collect yet, even though she didn't collect it yet, goes to who? The brothers. So the Gemara says, Mitziata miman gavya. What do you mean? Who do you collect the lost object from? Which means I understand the part of the Mishnah that says she didn't get a paycheck yet. Ma'aseh adeha that she didn't collect yet. Her boss owes her $500. Good. So the Hadush is that what? That money goes to the brothers. But what do you mean a mitzi'a that she didn't collect yet? Who do you collect the mitzi'a from? The language of the Mishnah doesn't make sense. Mitziata shelo gavta. She didn't collect the mitziah. What did she collect it from? Where do you collect the mitziah from? That was Rav Yosef's question. That language of the Mishnah. So you know what he learned from that? He said, Ela lav hachikama. Ma'aseh yadea kimtziata. That what? The law of ma'aseh yadea and the law of mitziah are similar. Ma mitziata. Bechaya av. As long as the father's alive, when a girl finds a lost object, who gets the object? The father. And of course, after the father dies, who gets the lost objects? She keeps it to herself. What she made during the father's life goes to the father. But after the father dies, whatever her handiwork, her money that she makes, goes to her. And therefore, Rav Sheshat is knocked out. That was Rav Yosef's question. Our Mishnah is meduyeket, that ma'aseh adeha, after the father dies, goes to her and doesn't go to the children. Right? Because it's like a mitziah. Just like nobody argues. A mitziah, after the father dies, who's going to get the mitziah? Not the brothers, it's her. She found it. So therefore, just like she keeps the mitziah, so too she keeps ma'aseh yadeha against the proof of Rav Sheshat. Let's read Rashi. Ela napachi kamar masiya dea kimsiata dema she'asta b'chaya av le'av ul'yorshin.
Of course, whatever she made during the father's life, it goes to the father or the yorshim, the inheritors.
Ma she'asta lahar mitata av la'atzma. Ma mitziata de mitziata pshita lan de la'atzma. It's pashut that the mitziah after the father dies, for sure she gets it. Why? De'afilu b'chaya av, even in the father's life, lo zeche b'enav ena imken simucha al shulchano.
Even when the father's alive, he only gets her lost objects if he's supporting her.
Okay,
and they did that because they don't want to make strife in the family. Which means they wanted the father to support his daughter. Really, according to halakha, a father after a certain age doesn't have to support his daughters anymore. So therefore, how did they get the father to support the daughters? They said, listen, you'll get her mitziot. So since he gets the mitziot, he might get a windfall, so therefore he'll support. But it's only like a rabbinical item that they gave to him. So of course, when the father dies, well, he's not supporting anymore, certainly she should keep it. The only reason why the father gets it when he's alive, the mitziah, is to be an incentive to support the child. So vaday, after the father dies, who keeps the mitziah? Of course she keeps the mitziah. There's no reason. Okay? Good. So comes the Gemara and says, "Itmar namem." We have a statement to support what we just said. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, bat hanizonet min ha'achim. Exactly our case. A daughter that's being supported by the brothers. Maaseh adea le'atzma. Maaseh adea goes to herself. And that's the opinion of Rav. Amar Rav kana ma'itama. What's the reason why she gets the maaseh adayim? Dichtiv, because it says, "Vetnachaltem otam libnechem." Aharechem. Person has an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani is considered like property. Just like a father that dies, his property, his real estate goes to his children. An Eved Kanani, you also bequeath it to your children. And then when the person says, "V'tnachaltem otam," you will bequeath them, libnechem, aharechem, to your children. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Otam libnechem. Yeah, otam. An Eved Kanani, you bequeath to your children. Ve'lo benotechem libnechem. But you don't bequeath your daughters to your sons. Which means, you bequeath your Eved Kanani to your sons when you die. But you don't bequeath your daughter. What does it mean you don't bequeath your daughters? So Gemara says, Megid, she'en adam mori zechut bito libno. The zechuyot, the rights of the daughter, don't automatically go to the son. And one of the rights of the daughter, ma'aseh yadayim. So ma'aseh yadayim is not automatic that it goes to the children. So Gemara says, Matkif la rabba. Well, hold it. These rights, who told you these rights are referring to ma'aseh yadayim? Maybe some other rights. What are other rights that the daughter has? Ve'ema b'fitui habat. Maybe it's about the money of pitui. For example, didn't we learn if a girl was mefuta, right? She was seduced. Isn't there rights that she gets, or there's a monetary payout there of 50 shekalim? Maybe it's talking about that. Uknasot, right? And the knas of it. V'habalot. Habalot is like, let's say, damages. Dicht hakatuv medaber. V'chen tana Reb Hanina, and Reb Hanina actually said it. B'fitui abat v'kenasot v'abalot ha'katuv medaber. So therefore, who told you that this person was referring to that ma'aseh yadayim? Maybe it's only referring to what? To things like the kenasot, the different classes that the daughter gets, or the different damages, habala for damaging, if somebody damages her, she gets that after the father died, right? Who told you that... It's not ma'aseh yadayim. Look at Rashi. Ve'ema b'fitui abat v'kenasot. De'ones v'habalot katuv b'deber. Aval ma'aseh yadayim de'midi d'shchiach, which means ma'aseh yadayim is a common monetary gain over there. People go to work. V'hasre b'mamona d'mitzena minayu ema diduave. Which means, maybe I'll tell you, listen, they're supporting her. Maybe the ma'aseh yadayim go to the brothers. Who told you when the pasuk says that she gets her own things, which means you don't bequeath your sons, your daughter's money? Maybe that daughter's money is referring to things that are not so common, like knas and damages and things like that. But maybe ma'aseh yadayim they get. After all, they are supporting her. Who told you to learn this bright that it's talking about ma'aseh yadayim? So the Gemara goes on a side point for a second. The Gemara is saying, how could you even think to tell me somebody damages the girl, right? And the money that she's going to get, the money that's coming to for pain and suffering, is going to go to the brothers? How is that possible? She suffered. They're going to get the money. So the Gemara asks, "Habalot sa'arad de gufaninu." Which means when it comes to habalot, the payment of physical damages, bruises, that's already, that's hers. Look at that, she. V'tzara lo zecher rachmana le'av. Which means even when the father was alive, the tzar payment doesn't go to the father. K'detanya b'chobel. Which means, in Baba Kama, they learned that that money, that Sa'ar, really goes to the, even when they're ketanim, the father cannot benefit from that money. He has to use it for the girl. So the how could you tell me that habalot are going to go to the father, go to the children? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Harina, shepatz'a befaneha. Okay, we're talking about a type of habala, the guy bruised her face up. Why should that go to the father? So that she says, "De af hata mekaspa," because now she becomes devaluated in her price. "De ita le'av dileu de'ayesh lo bamecher." Can't the father sell his daughter when she's a ketana? Now already she has a bruise on her face, so her value goes down. So that loss is really to the father. So when we said a habalot go to the children, we talked about a habala that normally would have went to the father. What's the type of habala that normally would have went to the father? A habala that would cause her to devaluate in her pride. What would that type of habala be? The habala, let's say, to the face. Okay, good. But now we're back to the question, who told you? Do you have no raya from that braita? That braita that said that the children get the profit of the girl, that's maybe talking about the daughter, that the father gives over his avadim to his children, but doesn't give over his daughters to his children. Who told you that's talking about ma'asei yadayim? Maybe it's talking about what? That the daughter keeps for herself, kenas, habala, and all those things. You have no ra'ayah that she gets to keep ma'asei yadayim from this statement. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar bizera marav matna, Amar Rav. The Amrila Amar Bizera Maravatna Amar Rav Bat Hanizonit Minahim Maasiya Dea Leatsma. Okay, our case. Same case of the whole daf here. The daughter that's getting supported by the brothers, who gets Maasiya Deha according to Rav? She does. Tikhtiv Vitnachaltem Otam Dibnechem Maharichem Otam Dibnechem Velo Binotechem Dibnechem. Same proof. That you give over the slaves to the boys, but you don't give over the girls to the boys. Magich and Adam Morish Zechut Bito Libno. So he's learning it. Zechut Bito, he's not asking any questions. He's saying the Zechut must be Maase Adayin, and therefore Maase Adam do not go to the children. So come to Gemara and says, Amale Avimi Bar Pepe Shakud Amra. A rabbi that they nicknamed Shakud, he said this halakha. That what? That ma'asei adayim go to the daughter. So the Gemara says, Shakud Manu. Who's Shakud? Which rabbi is called Shakud? The Gemara says, Shimuel. Now why was Shimuel called Shakud? So that she says, Havu karo le Shakud al shum delcheta kevate bedine. Because whenever Shimuel says a halakha, halakha follows Shimuel. Why? The shoked al devarav le'onam kelcheta. He was Shoked, he was zealous, so he was careful that whenever he said a deen, he made sure that his halachot are halakha lemaaseh. So they called him Shoked, the diligent one. So they nicknamed him Shakud, because all his statements that were made, he made sure to say them according to the halakha. So the Gemara says, Shakud is the one that said maaseh yadea of the girl. Even though she's being supported by the brothers, goes to her. So the Gemara says, Harav Amra. What do you mean? We just said that Rav said it. So Gemara says, Ema Af Shakud Amra. Okay, also Shakud said it. Which means, so it's really the halakha of Rav and Shemuel. Now who's the halakha going to follow? Amar Mor Bar Ame Mor Rav Asher. Hachi Amar Nehardi'e. This is what the rabbis of Nehardi'e said. Hilcheta Kevatet de Rav Sheshat. Oh, what did Rav Sheshat say? The opposite. Rav Sheshat held that Maasei Adai go to the brothers. Rav Asher Amar Hilcheta Kevatet de Rav. Hilcheta Kevatet de Rav. But Rav Asher said no. Halakha indeed follows Rav, and that's really the bottom line of the whole sugya. Maaseh Yadea at the end belongs to who? Belongs to the girl. Even though they're supporting her, she gets Maaseh Yadayim. Even though by an almana, It's the opposite. By Amana, the children get, because we're going to go make that chiluk, that the husband would rather his daughter get extra money than it's Almana. Can it, I don't know, maybe it's Almana, she's getting already money from the ketubah, and she'll get married again. But the little girls over there, he doesn't mind that they get a little extra. So therefore, Maaseh Adam, go to them. Let's go back and read the Rashi, second line. Amar Rav Zera, Ve'amrila Amar Rabbi Zera. Yes, we have two different versions over here. Either they're calling him Rav or they're calling him Rabbi. Hu Rabbi Zera, Hu Rav Zera. So Rashi tells you first of all, it's the same person. Ela bevavel mekamed sadik l'aradi Yisrael mekamed Rabbi Yohanan. One time it refers to him as Rav when he was still in Bavel before he moved to Eretz Yisrael under Rabbi Yohanan. Ve'en simicha bevavel. Right, they didn't give simicha to the rabbis in Bavel. Havu karu le Rav Zera. So they referred to him as Rav. And some say this statement that he said was before he got the Semicha. Some say no, this was after he moved to Eretz Yisrael, where they gave Semicha. And once you got Semicha, you weren't called Rav anymore. Then you were called already Rabbi. That's a very important cloud just to know. Sometimes you're called Rav, sometimes you're called Rabbi. That's referring to before the Semicha, which means you were in Bavel, or after they got Semicha already, they were upgraded to the title of Rabbi. Now we move on to the next Mishnah. Hame'ares et bito. Okay. Father, as we learned, when she's a ketana or a ne'ara, has the right to marry off his daughter. So hame'ares et bito. He was me'ares. I mean, she got engaged.
Okay.
Vigirsha. And then what? She got divorced. Irsa, he married her off a second time, but she still has rights. Vinit armela. But this time of it, she became a widow. So the first husband divorced her, the second husband died. Ketubata shelo. The ketubah goes to the father. That's she. Ketubah shehi gova mishne irusin halalu. Which means the ketubah that she gets from both husbands, that money goes to the father. Now, v'kasabar yesh ketubah la'arusa. Now, obviously you have to say that this opinion holds that the ketubah already kicks in even at the time of Irusin. And not only for marriage, because she was only engaged this time. Right, so that's the Hadush of Ben. She says, women, na'arut v'katnut kamar. Obviously we're talking about when she's still a ketanan and na'ara, where the proceeds are able to go to the father. Hissi'ah v'girsha. Case number two. He married her off. Now there was already nisu'in. And why she got divorced? Hisia married her off a second time, Vinit Armela, and she also got widowed the second time. Ketubata Shela. Then already the ketubah belongs to her. Which ketubah? Rashi. Ketubata Shela. Timishisia. Once already a father marries off his daughter, Pakar Reshuto. Already he loses his rights. And now she's the rights of the husband, he loses his rights. Ubatar govaina azlina. Now, when do we judge a ketubah's payment? We judge the ketubah's payment at the time where it's due. The govaina batar hachiu. The payment is only due after she was married. And now she's getting divorced. By the time she was married already, the father lost his rights. Velo azlina batar ketiva. And we don't say it goes after the time of the writing. If you say it goes after the writing, well, when the first ketubah was written, it was before they were married. So then you'd say that the first ketubah might go to the father. But if you tell me that the ketubah doesn't go after the time of the writing, the rights. The ketubah's rights go after at the time of the collection. At the time of the collection, she was already married. Once already she's married, the father loses his rights. And both ketubot are going to end up going to her. Right? Because once already she's married off, she's to her own. And then once she's to her own, now the first husband divorces her. Well, she's already married. She gets the ketubah to herself, and the second one already, she gets married, and now she gets the money to herself. Rabbi Yehuda argues on Tana Kama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Harishona Shel Av. He holds differently. He says, no, the first ketubah, the father gets. Why? Does she? Okay, we'll wait. We'll wait for the Gemara to see why the Biyuda says. Now, obviously, the Biyuda Sita is going to be, at least at first thought, that could be you go according to the writing. And since at the time of the writing of the Ketubah, she wasn't married yet. Right? The right to ketubah before she's married. And therefore she's still under the jurisdiction of the father. And even though at the time of the payment she was out of the jurisdiction, but if you go at the time of the ketubah, it belongs to the father. That's what we are thinking at first glance. Okay? Amru lo, so the rabbis tell the Yehuda, Mishih si'ah. Did I add something there? Okay, take it out. Mishih si'ah en la'viya reshuta. The rabbis come back to the Yehuda and says, what are you talking? Once already she's married, the father has no rights. Therefore, even the first ketubah goes to her. Now we start the Gemara. Gemara says, Ta'ama de hisi'a v'girsha hisi'a v'nit armela. Now let's just be technical and discuss the two marriages here. The first case is what? She got married and got divorced. Second case was she got married and got widowed. That's the order. Divorce first and then widowed. Aval nit armela trezimne. But why didn't you give a case where she got widowed twice? No good, you know why? Tu lo hajal in subeh. Because then already she would not be able to get married again. Why? Exactly. Because we owe that once a lady gets married and she already, two husbands die on her, according to the B, two times is already considered a hazaka, and therefore she's considered a katlanit. She's the type of girl, a lady that kills her husbands. Now the first time you say, okay, it's a coincidence, maybe. The second time already you say it's a pattern. Therefore, according to the B, you learn that Hazakah is twice. And therefore, the Mishnah is teaching you as a side point. That what? That the Mishnah is going like the B. Because why did the Mishnah just give you a regular case where she was Netar Milah once, Netar Milah twice? Because that case over there, she could not get married again. The Mishnah gave a case where she'd be able to continue to get married, where she was divorced once, and then Netar Milah, therefore, Tawa Hazakah. That's why the Mishnah went out of its way to give that case to show you that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi. Okay, that's she. Tudo hazel in sube davi hazakal yot ba'alim metin. Vedak tana b'metin. The Mishnah was precise. Delol linkot b'derech pur'anut. Right, the Mishnah didn't want to give a case of pur'anut where what? Death twice. Because death twice and you already have a problem in the next marriage. V'agav urchay deva'e l'agmerin al mishpat ha-ketubah ma'chlok le b'yudav rabbanan nakal l'shna didel l'mistam lan.
So the Mishnah is stam like Rabbi.
Now we continue. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Harishona Shel Av. Oh. Rabbi Yehuda said what? In the case of marriage. Let's review the case. There was a nisuin to the first guy. Right? And then she got divorced. Then there was nisuin to the second guy, and then she got widowed. So the Hakamim said what? Both ketubot go to her. The Bida says no. Ketubah number one goes to the father. Right? So Gemara says, my ta'amad Rabbi Yehuda. What's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbah Rav Yosef ta'amri tarvayu. So they both said, hu'il u'mish'at irusin zakha ba'en ha'av.
Good.
Because when already was the father the zoche, the father was zoche to the ketubah already from the time of the irusin.
Why is that so?
That's she. The mishat irusin shel ba'al harishon nitchayev leketubah v'zacha ba'av. Which means, as long as the girl is an arusa, whose jurisdiction is she under? The father's. When is the ketubah written? Already at the time of the irusin. Now you're right, it doesn't get paid until the su'in. Now, I understand, the second marriage already, once she was married to the first guy, she's out of the father's reshut. So the second ketubah for sure goes to her. But the first ketubah, since it was written at the time of the irusin, and at the time of the irusin, she's still under the father's jurisdiction, so therefore the father's going to get the payment. That's what she's telling us over here. The mishat irusin shel ba'al harishon nitchayev leketubah. It's actually... The chiyuv, look at it, say it better. The chiyuv of the ketubah, when is it hal? Already at the time of the irusin. Tell you about when it was written, don't say when it was written. Just say the chiyuv, when is the obligation hal to pay ketubah from the time of irusin? Right, you don't have to wait till nisuin for chiyuv ketubah. Not, which means, for example, let's say he got divorced at the time of irusin. Who gets the, he has to pay ketubah. So therefore, even though she suddenly got married, but since the chiyuv of the ketubah was hal at the time of the irusin, and at the time of the irusin, she was under the father's jurisdiction, he's going to get it. But she entered the second marriage already, she was married. She was married right to the first guy. Once she was married to the first guy, she's out. So Gemara says, Mativ Rabbah. Now that's a question. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rishona Shel Av. Rabbi Yehuda says what? Rishona goes to the father. Umoder Rabbi Yehuda b'me'arles et pito k'shei ketana. He agrees. Let's say he married off his daughter when she was a ketana. Ubagra. And then she became a bogeret. She became an adult. V'har kach nisei that she got married. She'en la'aviyah reshut ba. So if she became a bogeret at the time of the Irusin, the Biudas Modeh, the Ketubah goes to her. Amai. Why? Say the same logic. Bottom line, at the time of the Irusin, she was a Ketana or a Ne'ara. Whose jurisdiction is she under? The father's. Well, you see what? You don't go with that Sivara. Because if you went with that Sivara when she was a Ne'ara at the time of the Irusin, then she became a Bogeret at the time of the Nisuin, the father should still get it. But the Biyu doesn't say that. The Biyu says that what? If she became a Bogeret at the time of the Nisuin, she gets it, even though she was a Ne'ara at the time of the Irusin. So you see that logic of Mishat Irusin does not hold for the Biyu. So we have to give another Sivara. What's the logic of the Biyu? Right? Ela. Itmar, hachi itmar. Rabav, Rabbi Yosef, Tarvayu, hu il u birshuto nichtavim. Oh, since they were written under his jurisdiction, what does that mean? Let's read Rashi. Hu il u birshuto nichtavim. Ketubah rishona. Shaya lifnei nisuin. Okay, good. The first ketubah that was written before the nisuin. Vilkach bagra kodem nisuin. First she became a bogeret before the nisuin. Lo nichtav birshuto. Ah, which means like this. The point is like this. At the time of the writing of the ketubah, whose reshut was she under? So if you're going to tell me she was a Ne'ara is under the jurisdiction of the father. At the time of the Irusin, when they're writing the Ketubah, bottom line, she's under the father's jurisdiction at the time of the writing. So therefore what? It's going to go to the father. However, if let's say she was Bagra Kodem Nisuin, so Bagra is a bottle at the time of the writing, she's on her own. So there's no stira between the two statements. Really, I'll tell you, I always go at the time of the writing of the Ketubah, whose jurisdiction was she under? I'll tell you, if she was a Ne'ara, she was under the jurisdiction of the father. So therefore, they're writing the Ketubah at the time the Irusin, and she remains a Ne'ara. At the time of the writing, she was under the jurisdiction. Fine. That's why the other statement that says, Bagra. No, bottom line, if she was Bogeret before the Nisuin, it's going to go to her. Because at the time of the Ketubah, she was to herself. Okay, so that's bottom line, the new understanding that we have over here.
So the Gemara continues. From when or what time does the Ketubah payment take place? Does the collection take place? Where's the questions? Look at Rashi. Umigba me'emad gabia. Kilomar. The anyan zechiya de'av. De'a hazina, which means we're learning now that in certain cases we said the father gets the Ketubah, gets the payment. So the discussion is, when we say that the father gets the payment, for example, at what point does the Ketubah get paid? The hazinan de lav batar irusin as din afilu Rabbi Yehuda kedektani moderi Yehuda b'me'areset bito ubagra alma batar ketivah azil, which means certain times the Ketubah payment takes place at the time of the irusin, and then we saw she taught that say it takes time in the place of the Ketubah. So now the question is, the anyan mitaref lekuchot. When it comes to getting the Ketubah payment, you can take it from real estate. That means real estate that was sold after the Ketubah, already there's a lien on that property. So the person that's collecting the Ketubah can go to the real estate and take the property from the lekuchot, from the people that bought it. So the question is, from when does the Ketubah payment take place? Meaning, there's a stuff from the time of the Irusin. Since Midrabbanan, the Ketubah payment really starts from the Irusin, even though they didn't write a document yet. But since at the time of Irusin, the Ketubah payment is obligated, so that would mean any properties that the husband would sell after the Irusin, or from the Irusin on, would have the lien of the Ketubah on it. Or do you say that it starts from the time of the Ketubah? So the Gemara gives a machloket over here. Amar Rav Huna, mane umatayim min ha'erusin v'tosefet min ha'nisuin. Which means the main ikar ketuvah is either mane umatayim. Mane would mean if she's not in the betula, so the payment is a mane. If she is a betula, then the payment is matayim. So that already starts from the erusin. Meaning that any properties that were sold from the erusin on have the lien, and therefore the father or the husband can go and take payment from it. Tosefet min nisuin. Anything that's after the 100 or 200 is considered tosefet, which is the husband adds extra the money to the ketubah. So that already is collected from the time of the nisuin. Let's read Rashi. Maneu matayim de mitakantad rabbanan mehayev tarfa mizman irusin, which means that already is taken from the time of the irusin. Imet or girsha lahad nisuin. If let's say he died, the husband. He can get the payment from the time of the properties that were sold at the time of the Irusin, which is the Sha'bud of the Ketubah is already from the Irusin. Which means the Tosefet is only Niknef at the time of the writing of the Ketubah. So then for any properties that were sold between the Irusin and the Ketubah are not Mishu'bad for the Tosefet Ketubah. That's the Shita of Rav Huna. Rav Ase Amar, Echad Zeh Ve'Echad Zeh Min Nisuin. He says, no, everything comes from the Nisuin. Rashi, Echad Zeh Ve'Echad Zeh Min Nisuin, Tihi Gufa Mahla L'Sharbuda Kama V'Nitratzta Bizman HaKetub B'Shtar HaKetubah Kechol HaMefurash Ben Ikar Ben Tosefet. So, according to Rav Ase, he's learning that the lady is Mohel the Sha'bud up until the time of the writing. Even though the time of the Ketubah, the Irusin already is a Sha'bud for the Ketubah, he says she's Mohel. And therefore she will not worry up until the time it's written. And therefore everything is the time of the Ketubah according to Rav Aseh. So Gemara says, Umi Amar Rav Huna Ache. The Rav Huna indeed make a difference between the Ikar Ketubah and the Tosefet Ketubah. Vea Itmar. Let's say a lady presents to her husband two ketubot. One ketubah is a 200 ketubah, and one ketubah is a 300 ketubah. So now it says, V'amar avuna bat legvot matayim. If she comes to use the ketubah of 200, she wants to use that gova mizman rishon. So she gets payment from the earlier time, because it seems these two ketubot had two different times on it. The first ketubah had the earlier time, the second ketubah had a later time. So if she wants to use the first ketubah, no problem. She can get already payment from the earlier time, meaning from properties that were sold from the earlier time. Bat ligbot gomim zanesho shelosh meot. If she wants to use the ketubah of shelosh meot, which is the second ketubah, govam is mancheni, then she can only get paid from the second time, she's from the later time for properties that were sold subsequently. V'im ita, so the Gemara says, what do you mean? According to Rav Huna, I thought he makes a difference between the Ikar Ketubah and the Tosefet. Tigbe matayim mizman rishon, ume'a mizman sheni. Which means, what's basically taking place over the way we're understanding now? There's two Ketubot. It sounds like the first Ketubah was 200, and the second Ketubah is 300, meaning it's the 200 plus 100. Which means the husband gave a second ketubah and saying, not only am I going to obligate myself to 200, but I'm giving you also an additional 100. So therefore, Rav Huna should say that the original 200, which is the Ikar Ketubah, should be from Zman Dishon, from the earlier time, and the Tosefet, the extra 100, should be from Zman Aharon. So he makes a difference between the Ikar Ketubah and the Tosefet. So therefore, just like Rav Huna generally holds that, wow, that when you have a ketubah, the ikar ketubah gets paid from the time of the erusin, meaning from the lekohot from the time of the erusin, and the tosefet gets paid from the time of the ketivah. So in this case over here, why is Rav Huna say if she presents the 300 ketubah, it all gets paid from the later time? Why? 200 should be from shat erusin, and the 100 should be from the time of the ketivah. That's consistent with Rav Huna's shita. So the Gemara says, hold it. Rav Huna tells him back, v'leta'amech tigbi 500 kulam. Which means, what are you talking about? Why didn't she get the whole 500? Because seemingly over here you have two ketubot. You have one that says 200 and one that has 300. Meaning, matai mizman lishon, tlat me'a mizman sheni. Which means, maybe the ketubot are working like this. Maybe there's 200 the first ketubot, the second ketubot, 300 is all tosefet. So therefore, maybe you should be like this. Maybe 200 she should get from zman lishon, and 300, which is the tosefet, she should get from zman sheni. Why are you only saying 200 and 100. Maybe it's really altogether 500 ketubah, 200 ikar and 300 tosefet. Ela 500 my tamalu gabia. So the Gemara says, you know why she doesn't get the full 500? Kevan de lo katav la tzaviti ve'osifit lach tlat me'a amataim. Which means, since she did not, he did not write in the ketubah, the second ketubah, that I am adding 300 to the 200. Normally when you write to Sefer Ketubah, you write the words in the Ketubah that what? That I am being Mosif this money to the original Ketubah. Here you had two separate Ketubot. Here one was 200, one was 300. Therefore, for sure it's not an issue of 500 over here. It's not that there were two, it's not that it's one long Ketubah of 200 and he's being Mosif 300. Look at Rashi. Kevan, two lines on the bottom. Kevan de lo katabba be ketubah shiliyah. Since he did not write in the second ketubah, Saviti would mean, right, my will, my ratzon. My ratzon was, the osifit lak, and I added to you, tlat me'a umataim. I added 300 to the 200. Shma mina, lo le osif al rishonaba. That he wasn't coming to err on the first ketubah, ve lo tigbeh shiliyah, elam kere rishonah batla. Which means, it's either one or the other. All right, which means if you're going to get the second ketubah, you're not getting the first ketubah. If you want to take the first ketubah, you're not getting the second. What you want is to the exclusion of the others. So the Gemara says, "Haki ka'amar la." And this is what he means to say: "I mizman rishon gaviat." If you want to get paid from the first ketubah, which is from the earlier time, gaviat matayim. So then you'll get 200 like the first ketubah. Im izman sheni gaviat. But if you want to get paid from the later time, gaviat tlat me'a. Which he's giving her an option. He says, do you want to go from the earlier time? Which now, the advantage of getting from the earlier time is there's more properties that she can go to, but you're only going to get 200. You want to go to the later time, which is less properties, because all the properties that were sold in between are not going to be mishramat to the ketubah, but you'll get 300. So he's giving her an option to which ketubah she wants to get paid for. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen. Amen.